Good morning. I'm going to try that again. Good morning. There we go. So happy to be in worship with you today here at St. Mark's. Today we're going to be reflecting upon the fullness of the nature of God's love. And sometimes the challenge that sometimes the way in which God shows love to his creation plays for us. So we'll really focus on that in the sermon. But right now I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering our baptism, remembering who it is that we belong to, beginning our service in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence this day, Lord, mostly because you have blessed us with another day, that you have given us this day that we get to live out for you, but also given us the gospel, Lord, that has redeemed us, the Spirit that brought faith into our hearts, your Son who rescued us from all sin, and you who create all things and hold all things together, Lord. We truly are here because of you and all that you have done for us. And Lord, I pray that you would, by the guidance of your Holy Spirit through your word, Lord, help us, Lord, to worship you today in spirit and in truth, responding, Lord, to all that you have done. Thank you, Jesus, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us come into our Father's presence by laying our sins at his feet. First, we need forgiveness. There's so many things that stand between us and God. Let's get those things out of the way so that we can receive from him his word and his forgiveness. Let's confess. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us. And for his sake, forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praise to our God.
Glory of house.
But he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Through the sunsets free, oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child.
Is Lars Vallon. I'm one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to read the scripture for you today. Our first reading is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon text for today is Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. This is God's word for us today. Children, come on forward at this time. It is now time for the children's message, and Pastor Josh has the message today.
I'm going to do something different. I'm going to try not actually sitting down there. I'm going to gather you all together. So my back is to the old people, and we're just going to... There's a message for all of you, so I want you to gather together so I can look at all of you, because you guys are the one who this message is for. I'm glad I can't see behind me right now, actually. That's good. People probably getting ready to throw some stones or something. I don't know. All right. Well, good morning. Huh. I really, 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 really like when I say good morning to be overwhelmed by the response of good morning back to me. So when I say good morning to you, I want to hear like knock me out of my shoes good morning. You guys ready? Are you ready? I haven't said it yet. All right. You guys over there ready? You ready to say good morning? Are you guys ready? Hi. Yes. You're ready. Okay. Good morning. That was effective. Good. All right. I want everybody to actually bunch a little bit together. I know you're used to kind of being out on the wings. Come a little bit closer to the center here. All right. I want to look. I want to be able to see all of your faces. I'm excited. All right. Yes. Okay. So raise your hand if you think it is easy to love. Anybody? Easy to love? Excellent. Okay. Let me put your hands down. Let me try this again. Raise your hand if you think you know what it means to love. Raising your hand. Okay, keep your hand up if you're willing to share what you think it means to love. All right. Yeah, what do you think it means to love?
Like your parents, like they did something good for you, and you like
love them. Okay, yeah, so your parents have done something nice for you, and you love them. You appreciate what they've done for you. Good. Did I have a hand over there? Nope. Okay, what would you... What would you say is, what does it mean to love?
That's the kids say, let's eat candy, then the parents give them candy.
I see. I'm seeing a lot of themes here. Parents do nice things for the kids. The kids are very happy with that response. Yes. Yeah.
Love one another.
Yes, love one another. Okay. All right. So, again, loving, we're going to reflect upon this. The first reading we had today talks all about the nature of love. So, what does it mean to be patient?
To wait.
To wait?
Yeah.
That's fair answer to patient. Do you have something else?
If you really want something, but you have to wait.
Uh-huh.
And then you get it right away.
Okay. Raise your hand if you think it's easy to be patient. Is it easy to be patient? Is it easy to wait? Okay. What about being kind? Raise your hand if you think it's easy to be kind.
Yeah.
Okay. What about envy? Do not envy. Love does not envy. Do you think it's... Do you know what envying is? Envying is like, oh man, I see what someone else has, and I want that for me. And I'm angry that they have it, or maybe I'm upset, I'm jealous. That's kind of the idea of envy. Is it easy to not want what other people have? Is that easy? Okay, how about... let's see here. boasting and being proud. Raise your hand if you know what boasting and being proud is. All right, so if I was like, hey, you know what? I am the best preacher ever. I'm way better than all of you. That's true. That would be boasting and proud. How easy is it to not be boastful and proud? Is that easy? Raise your hand if you think that's easy. Sometimes we struggle with that. Okay. Let me see here. how about easily angered? Love is not easily angered. Do you find it easy to not get angry? Okay. How easy is it to love? If love is all those things, is that really easy? You're like, yeah, I could do that. And the thing about it is that loving is hard. And as the reading was describing the nature of love, we realized that it's a very important, profound thing, and it's also not an easy thing. But guess what? Guess what? Because of God in you, you can do this. You can love. Do you know why? Because God is giving you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works in you and helps you to do these things that are difficult. So you can be loving and kind to other people. You can be loving to your parents, loving to your friends. You can be loving to someone who frustrates you. Because of God at work within you. And that's an awesome thing. Okay, go ahead and fold your hands and pray with me. Dear God. Okay, repeat after me. Dear God. Thank you so much for loving me. Help me to love other people by the work of your Holy Spirit inside me. Amen. All right, I have a bit of a tickle in my throat today, so I will have my water nicely here in case I need it. I might pop a cough drop while we're going through, so just bear with me, be patient. I'll try not to cough loudly into the microphone. Regardless, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is love? Admittedly, growing up in the 90s, I cannot hear that phrase without thinking and being influenced by Hathaway, where my immediate response is, baby, don't hurt me, no more. Usually followed with a dropping of the beat and a head bob. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, don't worry, I'm not having a stroke right now. Don't worry about it. But no, as I reflected upon our gospel reading for today, there's that phrase I'm going to think about a little bit more, but where it says Jesus looked at him and loved him. And that stuck with me, and I couldn't help but title this, What is Love? And excuse me, I looked at the other reading as a comparative. And so if you don't mind kicking on to the next slide here. So looking again at that first reading of the nature of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, but rejoices with the truth. Not sure where the last line came in, but that's okay. And it's interesting, as I was reflecting upon the concept of love and what is love, I was realizing that in many ways, what the world seems to desire of God and a loving God, what does that look like? Typically, I find goes something like this. We want a God who receives us just as we are, which is true, he does. And we want a God who forgives us of our sins, which is true. Definitely, he does. But then the desire after all of that is, and he asks nothing of me with regard to a change of me, nothing for me. He accepts me just as I am, and I stay that way to perpetuity. And I appreciate our reading for today because I think it really kind of takes that thought and says, now hold on a second, let's reflect on this. But I think a lot of people who are hoping for I come just as I am and I stay that way as I sit there and receive from the Creator, would see no problem with this. In other words, it fits well, the idea of, oh, well, God is patient with me so I don't have to change. He's kind to me so I don't have to change. God's love does not envy, doesn't boast, is not proud. It certainly doesn't dishonor me. But it's intriguing to me as we look at the nature of Jesus' love to the man who comes to him. And so it is. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "A good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And the young man replied to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." Now again, we know that we are sinful. We know that we are sinful from birth. We know that it is impossible for us to perfectly keep God's commandments. So reading this, I cannot help but think, wow, this guy clearly struggles with pride, if nothing else. All that I've kept since my youth, Jesus. And yet that's not what Jesus chooses to respond with, to address in this moment. But instead, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. As if he were to say, if he knew in that moment that Jesus looked on him and loved him, would he have said,
What is love? Jesus, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. But I'm struck by this. Because as we think about the nature of the love of God, there is the obvious, overt truth that God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The profound love of God is such that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we have done nothing to deserve this love, yet God pours it out abundantly. But I think the nature of God's love is that and more. Insofar as God looks at this man, Jesus looks at this man and says, you're not quite where you need to be. Your heart is not quite in the right place, and if you continue on the track that you are going, it will only lead to your destruction. So Jesus looks on this man and loves him and says, one thing you lack. You have this seat of your heart that is not where it is that God should be, but rather you've displaced God with your money and possessions. And when Jesus diagnoses this and points it out to the man, unfortunately, as far as we know, all it is that the man is disheartened and goes away. We know nothing else of this man's story, and it doesn't do much to speculate. Well, maybe it played out this way. But as I was reflecting upon this for today, I was realizing that we are probably not so different from this young man. Sure, we might not come up to God and say, oh God, all of your Ten Commandments I've kept since my youth. And many of us might not be able to identify with the rich man with regard to the abundance of his wealth being so much. But the reality is that any of us, regardless of whether we are rich or we are doing okay or, man, we are struggling, all of us have the potential to have a temptation to have an unhealthy relationship with money. Any of us could see money as a means of having the best life that we could ever possibly have, and either we have it and it's amazing, we don't want to lose it, or, you know, if we had just a little bit more, then we could have an even better life, or, man, we are struggling, but man, if I just had enough money, I could have the life that I want to live. And all of these things are saying, God, I don't really trust the level of abundance and providence that you have given to me. Or maybe we look to money as a source of security. So in other words, we are afraid of what would happen if we don't have enough money to get by. And we trust in money to be the source of our security and our hope for the future. And we love the things that money can buy all more than we fear, love, and trust in God. And this doesn't just have to happen with money. We could have many different addictions. Things where we say, you know, if I engage in this activity, I will get a sense of relief, release, I will feel peace, I will feel better. And so rather than looking to God as the source of those things, we turn to bad pictures, or to drugs, or to alcohol, or to any other thing that fuels that addiction. And as we engage in that, the sense of relief, the time gets shorter, and the appeal and the draw gets more intense, and you become a slave to the things that you are addicted to. Or maybe it's your pride, where God looks at you and says, one thing you lack, Your pride says that you have to be the brightest and the best. You have to be the premier achiever in your field. You have to be better than everybody else, or you're failing. And your pride just says, go, 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 go. Or maybe it's, I have to look the absolute best that I can. And if one little thing is just out of place, everything will be lost. And our pride starts to become a wedge between us and our Creator. Or it could be any other entity that you trust in more. You might be so worried about the future. There's crazy things going on, hurricanes all over the place. Or if the right person doesn't get elected, everything will come crumbling down. And rather than trusting in our Creator to provide for our needs, we put our trust in elected officials, or that the weather might be just right, or whatever else it is. In other words, there's so many hidden things, not hidden from us, but hidden from other people, that we don't want them to know about, that we on the surface say, yeah, we're doing good. Yeah, sure, I'm a sinner. I struggle with these things. I confess, I sin daily. Just don't look at the deep things, the dark things. But God knows. Oh, can I go back to the other slide, please? Thanks. But God knows. And he looks on you with love. And he says, one thing you lack. And again, the nature of this love is not such that God is trying to beat you up. Though you might be tempted upon God pointing out this and saying, this needs to be removed, you might say, what is love? God, don't hurt me, no more. But the nature of God's love is always patient. As he is pointing out these flaws, these problems within your heart, he is always kind in doing so. He's not doing it out of envy. He's not doing it to be boastful or proud. And he's not doing it to dishonor you. God is not self-seeking, as he's demonstrating, saying, look, this is a problem. If you keep engaging in this part of your life, it will lead to your destruction. God's love is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. God's love does not delight in evil, but it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And this is the profoundness of the love of God. Because on the one hand, it is that God says, oh, you, my child, you're a mess, and I love you. And he washes us clean of the things that we have done wrong, the ways that we have failed. But having washed us clean, he says, you don't have to go into the mud anymore. You don't have to go in that way that has enslaved you for so long, as not a part of your identity, as not a part of who you are. Rather, God says, you are my child whom I love. With you I am well pleased. He says, let me show you a better way. A way that is truly freedom. And so this is the nature of God's love. To not just leave us in our struggle and our pain and our sorrow, the ones that we hide away and don't want anyone to know exist, the ones that we ourselves might be in denial of. I do want to point out one thing. Sometimes it can be difficult as you find yourself reflecting and saying, here is where my sin is. Here's my struggle. And you might have a sense that someone else is directing your attention to that sin. And you might find yourself saying, okay, well, is this from God who is pointing out this sin to me, or is this from the devil? Because the devil also likes to point out our sin to us. And the question is always, the one who is speaking to you, what is it that that entity seems to be trying to accomplish? In other words, the devil is always going to try to tear you down, to separate you from God, to make it seem to you that because of your sin, you cannot be loved. Because of your sin, God wants nothing to do with you. But that is not the truth. Whereas God, in showing and reflecting and saying, look, this part of you doesn't have to be. The Holy Spirit speaking to you is always then with the possibility of a renewed state, which is found in God. So my encouragement to you this week is to reflect, to ponder, how is it that God is demonstrating his love to you? Knowing that God has received you just as you are. Knowing that God says, your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus has done on the cross. I credit that to you. How is God then further looking on you with love and saying, this thing you lack? Let go of the false things that you are clinging to. Let go of your pride. Let go of your addictions. Let go of unhealthy trust in something that is not God. Instead, turn to him and say, God, I belong to you. Help me to fully trust in you. Help me to look to you as the source of all that I need. And it's this Jesus who looks on you and says, come, follow me. Amen.
I see.
Christian brothers and sisters, let's rise as we confess our faith using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for this beautiful day that you have given us, a day that we get to come into your presence, hear from your word, Lord, return praise and thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for us. Remember, Lord, the many blessings we have received from you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in us as we continue to worship you this day. Lord, we look around us and we see the effects of sin all over the place in the world, Lord. We see people who are sick. We see people who are struggling with the after effects of storms, Lord. We see people who are struggling because of the wars that are between nations. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we help us, Lord, to do what we can, Lord, to alleviate the effects of sin in this world. Lord, you have given us so much. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to use every opportunity at our disposal, Lord, to bring relief to our brothers and sisters who are struggling. And Lord, I pray that you would make all of the efforts effective. Lord, the problems are so big, the needs are so great. There are so many, Lord, people who are desperately in need. Lord, we aren't big enough to do it all. Lord, we need you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to provide for your people, Lord. Bring comfort to those who have lost so much, and bring peace, Lord, to the places where conflict abounds. Heavenly Father, Lord, we also pray that you would, Lord, that you would continue to be with us, Lord, here at our church as we work here to serve the people in our community and to serve the community of believers who are here. Lord, I pray that you would, just as before, Lord, you're the one that makes it work. You give us tasks to do. You give us your word to learn and to study and to proclaim. You give us this incredible message of the gospel, Lord, that transforms hearts and minds. And then you're the one that makes it work. You're the one that brings faith. You're the one that changes our hearts. You're the one that helps us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do your work among us, Lord, as we strive to follow you. All this we bring before you today, Lord. And we pray the prayer that you gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Now, our God's promise is faithful. He has appeared to us in this gift once again. He has made his presence in this body and blood. And through this body and blood, he gives us the promised forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we so desperately need. Knowing this, depart in his peace to serve him with joy. Amen. Let us sing the final song together then. Let's stand up as we sing.
So remember your
Receive our Lord's blessing today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to call Pastor Dar forward today for this month's Life Talk. Children. Oh, yeah, children. At this time, go ahead and head to the back to head towards Sunday school. Miss Lauren is waiting for you back there.
Good morning. We try to do a Life Talk once a month, your life team here at St. Mark's. For 55 years in ministry, I've spoken about life issues. I've preached about life issues. I've served on pregnancy life boards. Presently, I'm chairman of the Alliance for Life for Missouri. So it kind of tells you where I'm coming from. The Life Talk this morning is probably one of the most important ones I've ever given. Now, that sounds kind of awesome to introduce it that way, but let me tell you two reasons why. November, the election, in Missouri, there's an amendment, Amendment 3, which will determine our state's approach to the living yet unborn in a very significant way. Second reason this is so important, and this I discovered just a couple of weeks ago, and it really surprised me. 50% of Bible-believing Christians don't vote. Did you know that? They say, it's just not worth it, my vote doesn't matter, and they don't vote. So two reasons this morning, a consideration of Amendment 3 and an encouragement for every one of you Bible-believing Christians to vote, okay? Here's the amendment. The right to productive freedom, that's how the amendment appears on the ballot on November 5th. For clarity, to help understand what is involved, let me share what we're learning. This amendment would legalize abortions at any stage of pregnancy, including late-term abortions, would allow abortions for any physical or mental health reason, and it would wipe out every law in Missouri presently protecting an unborn child. Missouri presently has the strongest pro-life legislative position of any state in our nation, which protects the life of the preborn and the life of the mother. Those would be wiped out. In addition, if the amendment would pass, parental consent would no longer be required for a minor to get an abortion. And it opens the door for minors to make gender and life decisions without the involvement of their parents. Also, approval of this amendment would force pregnancy resource centers to refer clients for abortion. And pregnancy resource centers would no longer be forced to show a mother's ultrasound to the mother. And finally, our state legislatures would be unable to refuse taxpayer funding for abortions. Those are the facts. For the Christian, this serious decision needs to be made with a clear understanding of what God's Word teaches. First of all, God is the one who creates life that begins at conception, and he values that life for the 9 months in the womb and until he determines the natural end of that life. Psalm 139 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Second, a Christian needs to consider that God created two genders, male and female, and humans do not have the right to change that. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God has also given parents the responsibility for their children's welfare physically and spiritually until they enter adulthood. Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So what does this mean? I know that we always have concerns about being too political. I have a very simple message for you this morning, and I would love to talk to you more about it if that's an issue for you. Vote in November and vote no on Amendment 3. If you have questions about that, talk to me or one of our life team. My wife Jan is on the life team, and so is Carla Bomarito, Holly Gilbert, Aline Lewis, and Pat Wehner. It's a tough one, but we as Christians need to make our voice known for life. Thank you.
Thank you, Dar. All right. Now announcements, as quickly as I can. Let's see here. First of all, there's a women's event coming up, sponsored by our LWML here at St. Mark's. It's going to be on October 19th from 9 o'clock till 11:30. All this information's in the bulletin. You can look at it as well. It is a lot of St. Mark's people going to be there, and a lot of St. Mark's people are going to be a part of it. Pastor Josh is going to lead the devotion. Melissa Corbett, who is a member here, she's an amazing singer. She's going to be singing for us. Guest speaker is going to be Lori Holtgreave, and she's the director of Humanitry, and they're going to be collecting items for Humanitry. Again, information in the bulletin, and they're going to be taking donations for LCMS Disaster Response, which is the branch of our denomination that does amazing stuff whenever hurricanes hit, tornadoes hit, floods, whatever. They're always right there in the middle of it. When the floods hit us in 2015 and 2017, they were there for us, and they helped us tremendously, not just with money, but with counsel and with advice and with the, you know, keeping our heads focused. When you walk into a disaster area and your head just goes everywhere, and they said, okay, here, this is how you need to think, and they really walked us through it. These people are amazing. They always work through the local church. A wonderful bunch, all right? If you're going to contribute to disasters relief, I really encourage you to do it throughout our district. The nice thing is that they are not funded through the donations. They're funded through the synod. So the money that you donate goes to the response. It's really, really excellent. Okay, and then there's going to be Christian Friends of New Americans are going to be there too, which is our LCMS group that reaches out to immigrants as well. So there's going to be a lot going on that day. Really encourage ladies, the congregation, to be there. It's going to be some really good stuff going on. Again, all that is in the bulletin. Road closures this coming, October 19th and 20th. It's going to be on Sunday morning. So better be aware of what's going on out there. Make sure you know. Janine looked at it and said, this is really, really hard to figure out. So you'll need to really look at it, study it, read, mark, learn, inwardly digest it, so that you will know when you can get to church and how you're going to have to get here on that Sunday. All right? I think that's this coming Sunday, right? Yeah. So that's, yeah, please be really on board with that. And then the other announcement that I have is we have a baptism immediately after the service today, which is why I'm talking so fast right now. Little Azalea Gray Toysher is going to be baptized and brought into the family of God after the service today. So if you want to stick around for that, please be welcome to do so. All right. Trunk or Treat is on the way as well. That is correct. Trunk or Treat is after church next week. And Lauren said that she would really like it if we could get 5 more trunks. So if you're not trunking already, please consider it. Make children happy. It's a lot of fun. And then Operation Christmas Child labels and boxes are available now. I know we ran out last week, so we got more out there. So grab them on the way out. And don't forget, we're still raising money for our lights. If you notice, there's a bunch of them that are currently not making light. That's going to become more and more a problem. So we really want to get the money raised so that we can get those all replaced. Actually, the truth is we already signed the contract. We're getting it done, but we definitely would love it if you guys could help contribute toward that. And you can do so by when the offering plate goes by. If you want to give an addition to your offering, write on the memo line of the check, church lights or something like that. Just make it aware, make us aware of what you want it to be. Okay? Flu shots are in the back. That's correct. So if you want to get poked, they got pins. We're ready to go. All right, with that, God's blessings to all of you. We have a busy, amazing church, and it's such a blessing. So blessings, folks.